Eternal Father, we ask you to make us more grateful for having the sacrament of penance, and we pray that for the future we may use it more fruitfully. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, whose blood it is that washes us from our sins, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
It gives me particular pleasure tonight to introduce Father Thwaites, whom I have known personally for a number of years, and I have a great appreciation of his work with young people particularly, and his work in Brixton. He has a lot of irons in the fire. It would take too long to tell you about all the good things he does. He was instrumental, for instance, in starting that wonderful thing, the Holy Cross Bookshop, which only stocks books which are authentic Catholic teaching. You won't find any wonky theological books in the Holy Cross Bookshop. And it's very pleasant to see what a success that is being made of that particular shop. And I believe another one is open now in the West Country. Last session of the forum last year, Father came along and his talk was immensely popular. And I think, as I said last time, we had we always record the talks on cassette so that the wonderful message is available to a wider audience than here. And Father Thwaites, I think, broke the record for cassettes that were sold. He says his subject tonight is confession, the neglected sacrament. Well, I'm sure that his talk through the cassette and here tonight will not be neglected. We will be very grateful for it. He has asked if he might sit down, and we say we always allow our speakers to take the most comfortable position that they prefer. We will have time for questions and discussions afterwards. And now, without more ado, I ask Father if he would continue.
I think I'll start standing up and see how it goes.
You're going to try standing up. Yes. So we just alter that a little bit.
Yes. On Holy Saturday last year, I was asked to go to a church to help hear confession. And when I got there, they'd been going on for a quarter of an hour about, and there's a priest, one of the priests was in the confessional hearing confessions, and waiting in the church to go to confession was just one old man. So I went into the presbytery and found the parish priest and congratulated him there's no more sin left in his parish, and I went home to get on with some work. Amazing, Holy Saturday, no one wanted to go to confession. Why? Well, people just don't know the immense benefits that come to us from using this sacrament. And so, I suppose priests spend a lot of their time going around giving sales talk on confession. We've got two jobs, really, to consecrate the Holy Eucharist and to get people to come to receive it. And so, trying to get people to go to confession more, it's all part of it. To begin with, I thought of going through some of the things the Holy Father said, because to end up the Holy Year, his last nine conferences, his Wednesday talks, were on confession, and the Apostolate of Catholic Truth has brought out a booklet with all these talks. And so I was going through these and making a sort of digest and everything, but about 4 days ago I met a good lady, I suppose she's here, who said, please keep it simple. Well, the Holy Father's marvellous, but it's not simple. And so I scrapped that idea, and I'm going to comment on something that Pius XII wrote in his encyclical on the mystical body. It's often quoted. He says, equally disastrous in its effects, he's been talking about overemphasis of the action of the Holy Spirit in our sanctification, and this leads to underestimating the personal effort each one has to make. He said, equally disastrous in its effects is the false contention that the frequent confession of venial sins is not a practice to be greatly esteemed, and that preference is to be given to that general confession which the Bride of Christ, together with her children, united to her in the Lord, makes daily through the priests who are about to go up to the altar of God. I think Pius XII is marvellous. Then he goes on, that there are many very laudable ways in which these sins can be expiated is perfectly true, as you are well aware. But for constant and speedy advancement in the path of virtue, we highly recommend the pious practice of frequent confession, introduced by the Church under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. For by this means we grow in a true knowledge of ourselves and in Christian humility, bad habits are uprooted, spiritual negligence and apathy are prevented, the conscience is purified and the will strengthened, salutary spiritual direction is obtained, and grace is increased by the efficacy of the sacrament itself. Therefore, those among the young clergy who are diminishing esteem for frequent confession are to know that the enterprise upon which they have embarked is alien to the Spirit of Christ and most detrimental to the mystical body of our Saviour. I was going to comment on all those bit by bit. He says we grow in a true knowledge of ourselves. Well, that's part of the sacramental grace we get. More interior enlightenment. We see ourselves more clearly. We can sin without God's help, but we can't see our sins without his help. And this sacrament does throw a light into our own hearts. Pascal said, if you knew your sins, you'd lose your mind. What we see of our sins, I suppose, is just the tip of the iceberg. This awareness of our own interior, it's so important. There's a book by Father Lallemore. He didn't write it. It's just notes that people took at his talks, called Spiritual Doctrine. And his great message is that we have to keep a custody of our heart. We have to keep a watch over our own interior. We have to be aware of our thoughts, of our motivation. This isn't the same as examination of conscience. An examination of conscience is done once or twice a day. This is done continually. An examination of conscience exercises the memory. This doesn't. It's made with some effort. An examination of conscience, this doesn't call for any effort. It's like having a little sentry box in our hearts from which we observe ourselves. And he says that without this awareness of our own interior, it's difficult to make much progress. He says we can commit 100 sins a day and be unaware of it. Anyhow, that what he recommended for people who were really trying to develop this was daily confession. This is the sacrament that does help us make us more sensitive to sin. You must have had the experience of coming out of confession and then thinking of things that you could have said, perhaps should have said, but that you didn't think of when you went into confession. That's part of the sacramental grace that you received. So, frequent confession, it does make us more aware of ourselves. When people say, I can't think of anything to say, for some people that's a great problem. The reason they don't go to confession is they think of nothing to say. Well, I'm afraid that really means that one ought to go to confession. Sin does tend to give us a sort of spiritual cataract so that we just can't see things very clearly at all. And so to stay away from confession, because there's nothing that we can think of, really, is putting the cart before the horse. If we went to confession more, we think of plenty of things to say. And so greater delicacy of conscience, it is one of the sacramental graces we get when we go to confession. I think it's always like the air. This is the illustration I always use, the air that we're breathing right now. It's empty, I mean, it's just air. But if a ray of morning sunlight comes into the room, you see all sorts of little motes and things dancing around in the air. And we look into our soul, not a sin in sight. But then if God sends a ray of his grace into our heart, perhaps we can see plenty that it'd be worth mentioning in confession. So confession does help us in that way. In the examination of conscience, we must acknowledge the link that exists between my sin and myself. I may say I behaved in a devious way, but then I've got to make the connection and realize I am devious. I mean, it was I who did this. My liberty has been directed to evil. We have to let the facts speak for themselves, that my evil choices do come from my heart. And so, beginning with what I've done, I truly come to know who I am. And so the effort involved in going to confession, it does help us grow in a true knowledge of ourselves. The Holy Father went on, and in Christian humility. Well, I think we all know this. To have to confess again and again, week after week, or month after month, or year after year, that we're not getting any better. This is good for our humility. And the fact we find it humiliating shows that we're still wanting in humility. If we were perfect in humility, we wouldn't find these things humiliating. I remember once I was in hospital and a physiotherapist came along, and she was trying to make me lift my arm, and I said, "Stop." And she said, "You don't tell physiotherapists to stop." She was a Belfast Catholic, very tough. If my arm had been all right, it wouldn't have hurt me. The fact that it hurt me showed that what she was doing was good for me. And if we find confession humiliating, it shows that it's doing us good, that we have this pride in us that still needs to be worn away with God's grace. And so God can allow people a humiliating weakness, because I suppose it is our want of humility more than anything else that stands between us and closer union with God. And I really think that God can allow people to have some weakness they can't overcome, because without it perhaps he fears that they'll get proud and lose their soul. I knew an old tramp once, Pat Cronin. He had a great drink problem, and all his life he'd been struggling with this. He told me that, you know, sometimes he'd be kneeling at the back of the church praying hard, "Lord, keep me away from it," then he'd go out and get drunk again. And when he got drunk, he used to steal, and then he'd be in and out of prison. And he died with the Little Sisters of the Poor in near Preston. And I used to think that this weakness kept him holy. He must have been a fine man when he was young, fine-looking man. And I suppose he could have done very well in a material sort of way and got rich and proud and drifted away from God. But as it was, this humiliation that happened again and again all through his life, it kept him humble, it kept forcing him back to God and to the sacraments. And as I saw it, it seemed to me that this is what God allowed him to bring him safe to heaven. After all, virtue comes from God. And if God chooses not to give it, that must be for our good for the time being. Father Willie Doyle had a fearful temper, apparently, when he was younger, and it lasted quite a long time. So, if we find our confession humiliating, we should try to embrace that. Edel Quinn, the legionary, they're trying to get her canonized. She said that when she went to confession, she always tried to humiliate herself. Well, I can't imagine there's much in her life that could have humiliated her, but it was the right idea, the right approach. If that's a difficulty, I suppose we should turn to Our Lady, the one person who never needed to go to confession. But she knows how we console her son when we do try to humble ourselves. And looking at her perfect humility, it may help us. Children learn by looking at their mother. So, in our sins, I suppose in all sins, there's some sort of pride, in that when we sin, we prefer ourselves to God. And so it's only fitting that in the confession, in the reparation we're trying to make, there should be this act of humility. the present Holy Father says that when we go to confession, we must reveal ourselves as one who has betrayed God and needs his mercy. There's that bit in the Mass in Qua Nocte Tradebatur, in the night in which he was betrayed, a long night, and we have been the Judas so often. Our sins will be wiped out, either in this life by the crosses God sends us, or by penance we undertake, or else in the next life in the fires of purgatory. But the increased union with God that our humility gains for us, that'll be something forever. And so, if our sins and our confessions help increase our humility, then they're bound to lead, I suppose, to closer union with God and make us more pleasing to God. So even out of our sins, there's always a lot of good to be gained. But for that, confession's needed. Pius XII went on, bad habits are uprooted. Well, the wounds left in us by sin, by original sin and by our own sins, these can be healed only by Christ, and ordinarily by Christ working through the sacraments. No psychiatrist can probe these wounds. It's only God knows how deep they are. And really, when people start talking about going to psychiatrists for their troubles, it seems to me that one has first of all to find out what's their sacramental life. This is a bit of a digression, but I'm sure it's true that if people are having all sorts of problems and maybe needing to see a psychiatrist or seeing one, the very first thing is to find out, you know, what about the sacraments? I knew a woman, and she'd been to a mental hospital once or twice, and I was convinced that if she could become a Catholic, she'd be all right. So she became a Catholic and started going to daily Mass, and she was completely all right. And then she went back home to Africa, and she went to a sort of spiritualist church and came back, and so back at square one. Her children kept praying, and she came back to the sacraments again. I mean, she went back to a mental hospital when she came to England. And then she had one more relapse. Each time, it was the prayer of her children that brought her back to the sacraments. When she's going to the sacraments, she's fine. But when she isn't, then she goes really off the rails. So one has to check out, first of all, what's the sacramental life like, if there's all sorts of emotional, mental sort of wounds. Like in a car, if the car stops, the first thing to do is to find out if there's any petrol. I once had a lovely old Anglia, used a lot of oil, and once I put too much oil in it. And in 8 days, three times I had to be towed home, it just sort of petered out. And the third time I was brought home, the sort of car mechanic looked at it, nothing wrong, he said, mechanically it's perfect, just won't go. So I thought, even if it is mechanically perfect, it won't go, it's no good to me. So I sold it to a lad for £25, I think. All he needed was more petrol. He put petrol in, did it up, and took it to Spain on holiday and sold it for £90. The first thing is check up on petrol. And if people have some sort of trouble in their interior, mental or whatever, the first thing to do is check up on the sacraments. Are they going to confession? And for Catholics to start going to psychiatrists before they bring their sacramental life up to what it should be, really, that's putting things in the wrong order. These wounds left in us by, and of course, mental sickness, like physical sickness, in some way it comes from original sin. It's the sacraments that God's given us for the healing of these wounds. We know that God's grace is not confined to the sacraments, and there's nothing to stop any non-Catholic or non-Christian making a perfect act of contrition. But will they? Will they? There's nothing to stop me drawing a perfect circle freehand. Michelangelo could do it. Leonardo da Vinci could do it, I believe. But I couldn't do it. I need an instrument. And as for making a perfect act of contrition, people who are steeped in sin are psychologically not ready to rise to the high motivation that the perfect act of contrition demands. Nevertheless, and this is one of the great blessings of this sacrament, provided they fear God because of what they believe they deserve for having sinned and confess their sins, they are restored to the life of grace. So, bad habits are uprooted. It has a tremendous effect, this sacrament. Daily communion, frequent confession. There's nothing can withstand that. Psychologically, to uproot a bad habit, we have to have a true sorrow for having given way to it. And confession to a priest helps us come to this true contrition. It helps us make that movement of our will away from sin and towards God. It helps us have that sincere sorrow for sin without which God cannot forgive us. And so, confession, really. Actually, I was talking to a couple of lads 2 days ago, and one was a Catholic who's not gone to the sacraments for, a few years, and the other was his friend who wasn't a Catholic. Anyhow, the Catholic said he'd come on Sunday to Mass and confession, and the non-Catholic asked if he could too. I said, sure. He's a Christian. I'm sure absolution will work. Mind you, I got halfway through hearing a Muslim's confession and found out he was a Muslim. It wouldn't work with him, but I suppose if a person's a Christian, I don't see why. I don't know what a theologian would say about it. But anyhow, it's bound to do him good. Pius XII goes on, spiritual negligence and apathy are prevented. Well, going to confession regularly. Is it praiseworthy regularity or dull routine? Even if it seems to be dull routine, there's no reason for stopping it. It means, I suppose, we're being too easy on ourselves. But to stop going to frequent confession just because it seems to be the same every time, that's very wrong. Our holy communions are the same every time. A lot of things are the same every time. Married life must get sort of have its monotony in some way. But what develops is this relationship with somebody else, which is done, I suppose, in monotony, in fidelity, in spite of sort of monotony. There's a great danger in neglecting confession, because we can get into a sort of spiritual coma. When I was teaching, there was a boy in the school who died in the holidays, in the bath. He was gassed. They had a sort of gas heater in the bathroom, and something must have gone wrong, and he went to sleep in the bath, and when eventually they broke the door down, he was dead. It must have happened sort of gradually. If they'd broken the door down earlier, well, they'd have saved his life.